Perhaps you could read a few verses in Luke 24, one of the most magnificent chapters in the Gospel by Luke, and it's been referred to already. Just a few thoughts here, very briefly, for our text. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. Verse 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that finally communed together and reasoned. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I looked down and preached to verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed. God, should be the word here, and gave and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew it, and he vanished out of her sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done on the way, and how it was known of them, in breaking the bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen spirit. And he said unto them, why trouble, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And he gave them a piece of a broiled fish, of a honeycomb, and of a honeycomb, and he took it, and it ate before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Now verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from high. And he led them out as far as the Bethlehem. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them, and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continuing in the temple, praising and blessing God. And the Lord will bless to us the reading of this beautiful portion of the Word of God. It's one of the infallible proofs of the resurrection of Christ. If anyone had any doubt at all about the Lord being risen, he read this chapter, it'd be absolutely clear that Christ is risen. In fact, there are four delightful parts to this chapter. The opening verses I've written over them, the Lord is risen. And then the second part, the Lord is recognized. They recognize him as we were reminded, and the breaking of bread, and that meal that they had at Emmaus. And then in the third part that I read, the Lord is redeemed. He showed them his hands and his side, or his feet, and he said, it is I. A spirit hath not flesh and bone. A lean man is risen. The Lord is redeemed. And then in the last part here, we have the Lord being received up. He is received up in glory. And so there are four delightful things we can dwell on. The Lord is risen. The Lord is recognized. The Lord is feed on the Lord as you see fit. I always enjoy the gospel by Luke for many reasons, but one of the titles of it is this, is the gospel of the villages. It begins with the village of Bethlehem, and it ends with the village of Bethlehem. At Bethlehem, we have one of the greatest miracles in the Bible, the miracle of virgin birth, how he came into the world. But at the village of Bethany here, we're going to look at, we have the miracle of his ascension, his literal ascension to the Father. And his going out of the world was a great miracle also. The entrance in at Bethlehem, the leaving of the world at Bethany. Now just for a few minutes, I want you to think of what we've been reading here. You'll notice we have read about two villages. In this section we've read begins with the village of Emmaus, and then it ends with the village of Bethany. And Emmaus is called the village. The village of Emmaus and the village of Bethany. He led them out as far as the Bethany. And then right in the middle, we have the city. And it's called here, in this chapter, the city of Jerusalem. So the events in this chapter are woven around the village of Emmaus, and the city of Jerusalem right in the center, and then the village of Bethany. Now, these are infallible proofs of his resurrection. Before the Lord Jesus started his earthly ministry, he was 40 days. Lucas tells us that he was 40 days tempted of the devil. None of the others tells he was tempted every day, but during the whole 40 days and 40 nights, he was tempted of the devil. And then on the last day, we have the temptation recorded by Luke, the three great temptations. And those temptations, the testings of the Lord Jesus, prove his ability to enter into his earthly service. Before he commenced his 3.5 years of earthly ministry, leading to the cross, there were those 40 days, a probationary period. And during those 40 days, he proved himself to be the Son of God beyond the shadow of a doubt. He couldn't sin, that was impossible, but he proved he truly was the Son of God. He refused to take food as a real man. The man these stones were made bread. He refused to turn the stones into bread. The little stones in the desert there, they looked like a loaf. But he said they didn't have bread. He refused to do it. And he used the word of God, not his power, didn't use any of his attributes to rebuke Satan, but he used the scriptures. And what an interesting thing it is to see that we have that same book by which we can resist the temporary comes. But before he went to heaven, Luke tells us he was here for 40 days again. He's the only one who tells us that, the next one. He was 40 days, after 40 days he was received up into glory. He was going in and out amongst us for 40 days. And during those 40 days, before he went into his heavenly ministry, he demonstrated how he'd be occupied for us until he would come again. I've often compared the two 40 days. In the last 40 days, he proved he was a real man by taking food. In the upper room, he said, "I'm not sure." He said, "Have you anything to eat?" And you know, it's rather touching that they gave him a piece of a broiled fish. And the word in the original is a little piece. A little piece. You know, this morning he's given us a whole reminder of that. We only have a little piece for him. And then not only was there a little piece for him, but there was a honeycomb. We gave him a little piece, a piece of a broiled fish and a honeycomb. You know, the honeycomb speaks of sweetness. They give them sweets. And it speaks of the unity of the hive. Some places I go, and when the worship meeting is going on, I feel there's not the sweetness in it. It's not rolling well. What's wrong? There's not the unity. Not the unity. You get an assembly, doesn't matter how large it is, if there's not unity, the honeycomb will be missing. You know what I believe this morning here in this little meeting? We're able to give them a little sweetness. Right from the beginning. The honeycomb is here. And that's one of the greatest things. Better to be only a few and have the sweetness filling our souls, and that we're able to give him something to the life spark, a honeycomb. And he took it and ate before him. He didn't need it, as far as sustenance was concerned. But he was demonstrating, I'm a real man, a living man. Christ is a glorified man today. And that body he has is a prototype of what we're going to be like when he comes. If he comes today, things are going to be changed radically. And we're going to have glorified bodies. No blood, but flesh and bone. But a new principle, the principle of life, and we'll be in his presence, where sorrow will never come. Now, another thing about it on the 40 days here, remember the first 40 days, he used the scriptures. Over and over again, he's taking the scriptures. In the upper room, on the road to Emmaus, he handled the scriptures, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. The word of God is our guide. One of the things in assembly life is the value of the scriptures. Now, let me say something about these three pages just for a moment, about the details. Emmaus. Whenever I think about Emmaus, the thing I really think about is the walk, the highway to Emmaus, the road to Emmaus. The happenings in the house of Oracle 2, but the road to Emmaus is the thing that seems to emphasize Emmaus to us. And then in the middle here, at Jerusalem, it's the room. And that room at Jerusalem reminds me of his heavenly life. And then in the last one at Bethany, it's the rise on the Mount of Olives. Just below the Mount of Olives on the far side is Bethany. And it's on risen ground, a rise where he left to go to heaven. Three things here, a road, a room, and a rise on the mountainside. And whenever we think of the road, we think of the Lord Jesus as our companion. And I always love this. He walked along the road, and he supposed he wasn't with them. In the beginning of this gospel, Mary and Joseph walked along the road, and supposed he was with them. They supposed he was in their company. It's interesting how the gospels begin and end with the same type of thing. One day I was reading John 1, I was thinking about it. Behold the Lamb of God. That's how it begins. And then the last chapter is, feed my lambs. Little lambs at the end, saved through the Lamb that died. But here in Luke's Gospel, we have so many things at the beginning and end that are alike. But Mary and Joseph walked, supposing he was in the company. And he wasn't there at all. The end of the day, they finally walked about. And you know, we could walk along and suppose he was with us. And think he was with us, and we'd be walking without him. You could go a day without him. And you know, we used to say, when I was saved, I must have the Savior with me, or I dare not walk alone. But then there are other times, like the two on the road to Emmaus, we walk, and we suppose he's left us. You know, there's a word there in Isaiah 49, Israel will say, thou hast forgotten us. God has forgotten us. But the answer of God is, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she will not have compassion for the son of her womb? Yea, she may forget, yet will I not forget thee. I have graven thee on the palms of my hands, and thy walls are ever before me. It's the city of Jerusalem. The walls of the city of Jerusalem, the ancient people are never forgotten. God remembers his people, and he remembers us. Our names are upon the palms of his hands. And so here, we have two walking, supposing that he was not with them. They walked alongside them. They came along. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And that little walk along the Emmaus Road is like the picture of our life. As we walk life's highway, there's days of sadness. And no wonder has he forgotten us. No, he hasn't forgotten. He's always near us. He walks alongside us. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he began to open the scriptures along the highway. I love you from there. What a Bible reading that must have been. As he walked along the Emmaus highway, and he opened the scriptures, and the hearts were warm as he listened to it. And when he came to the end of the road, there was something very interesting took place. I've often thought about this. I wondered that they didn't know him to begin with. Always reminds me of Joseph, when he sent his brethren down at the table from the oldest to the youngest, how did he order the day of her birth? Joseph kept a list of the birthdays of all his brethren, and you when were born, and he set them down in order. And you know, you think they would have said, well, any man that does that, he can be only us only our brother. But he didn't recognize him, their eyes were open. You wonder that these men listening to such an exposition, they knew everybody among the disciples, that it didn't dawn upon them this is the Christ. But he kept in the background and kept their eyes closed until the hope would come that you clearly yourself. You know, as we walk along the highway of life, sometimes he keeps himself in the shadow. You don't recognize him. But at the end of the rope we'll know, truly, when we get there, there will be a face-to-face revelation. They will be made known to us truly in heaven. But you know, when they came to the village, whether they went up to their house, they made as if that he made as if he would have gone further. Well, we've thought about that. In Luke 19, when he's speaking to Zacchaeus, he said to him at Jericho, I must abide at thy house. I'm not going any further than your house, Zacchaeus. You know, that's how he deals with sinners. He invited himself into our life when we were unsaved. But he waits for Christians to invite him into their house now that we are saved. We can go, he can go on and leave us. Even in assembly life, he's outside of an assembly at Laodicea. Won't come in. And the center of an assembly is Christ. He's the most important one of all, preeminent. We lose everything at the door. I was in a large assembly some time ago. There's a number of doctors there and lawyers and principal men. And I made a statement. I said, whenever we come to the door of an assembly, we leave all our titles, all our wealth, all our influence, whoever we are. The most gifted man in us is we leave everything outside and we come in to sit down here as believers. There's only one that has the preeminence in the Christian assembly of all his brethren, and that's the Lord Jesus himself. He has the first place. But he made as if he would have gone for it. He had a choice to make. He could have allowed him to go on. Or they could have said, well, go with you. In Ireland, when I was first saved, I was very friendly with brother. And after the Bible reading, I wasn't married, I lived up the street, and he would say to me, come on in and have a cup of tea after the Bible reading. And after we had the tea, he said, my wife's going to bed, my children are in bed, I'll walk up with you, Hope. And so, we walked up Hope. When I got to it, I said to him, Tom, I'm sure I'll walk down with you again. I walked down. And then he said, you know, I'm enjoying your company. I'll walk back up with you. You know what the neighbor said? What are these brethren doing walking up and down this town all night? We're talking. We've never seen them. We're not until midnight. We're walking up and down. But you know, he made us if we would have gone further. And they would have said, we'll go with you. Or they could have let him go himself. You know, there's one lovely thing here I've enjoyed this week, this conversation. If I were to go with you today, to your house, you would say to me, I'd like you to come over and walk with us, come and have a meal with us. And I walked down, and when I came to your house, I'd done only one thing. I spoke about myself all the way down to your house. And I said, I think I'll go on. Your wife would whisper, let him go, but I'm not. But I don't think I'm going to talk about himself all day. But you know, there's one person, and only one, that can speak about himself all day long, and we desire to hear more about Jesus, would I know. I think that's a very unique thing about the Lord Jesus, that he's the only person that can speak about himself. He opened the scriptures, and he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Spoke about nothing else, only himself, all the way to Emmaus. They went go further, is inviting us. Let me hear more about it. You know, we'll never hear too much about the Lord Jesus. The Lord bless his grace.